Well, if you have your Bible, please turn to the passage that we have read. In Joshua chapter 20, as we prepare our hearts to come to the table of the Lord, and I think this passage will help to prepare our hearts wonderfully. Which may seem a very strange thing to those who have little time for the Word of God or who are ignorant about the Word of God and what it actually is all about. And there are many today who are really ignorant about the Word of God and about the Bible. Let me begin by reminding you of what Jesus said at the end of the Gospel of Luke. It's recorded in chapter 24, because it says that Jesus, as it were, took the Bible, the Old Testament, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to the disciples what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And that is the key to an understanding of what the Bible is all about. And I have said this before, and others have said it as well. Sunday school teacher, youth leader, anyone who's involved in teaching, sharing the Word of God with anyone, unless we remember this, then we stumble. We are not just in the business of teaching the stories of the Bible. We are that. But all of these stories point to Jesus. And we're going to see that this morning. It is, of course, the purpose of the preacher. Paul put it like this: we preach Christ crucified. And even when we're reading a passage in Joshua, like the one we've read this morning, we still preach Christ crucified. Today we come to this 20th chapter of Joshua, which is all about the six cities of refuge, which Joshua, as it were, created in accordance with the Word of God and with the Word of the Lord. And you can, for background reading, you can go to Numbers 35, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 19, and you can get the background for all of this. Just look at that map there for a moment, if you've got good eyesight, and you can see the little stars, the little yellow stars. There are six of them. That, of course, is a map of the Holy Land, and you can see the six stars on the right hand side, Golan up at the top, Ramoth down a little bit, and Bezer, and then over on the other side, Kadesh up at the top, and then Shechem in the middle, and Hebron down at the bottom. Those were the six cities of refuge. We don't have time to look at that. The more you look at things, the more that you will see. And you'll see how they were placed and spaced out very deliberately. There's another story there, very deliberately spaced out so that no one, from wherever they would be, no one could be able to say, well, I've far too far to run. I can't get to the city of refuge in time. Everybody had the same chance to flee to the place of refuge. Now, let me just give you a wee bit of background here, because I do have to give this to you. To understand why these were necessary, you need to understand a wee bit about Middle Eastern Old Testament culture and how it worked. And if you like, this is the sad bit of what we have to say this morning, because if a member of a family was killed, be it intentionally, deliberately, we call that murder, or accidentally, we don't call that murder, then in that culture, and this is the way it was, that a relative of the one who had been killed would seek the blood of the killer. Remember, it was the world of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Having said that, you will remember how Jesus actually brought a whole new way of looking at that when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. That's a sermon for another day. Matthew 5:38, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, and Jesus really brought another perspective, which actually stopped people in his mind from running out and seeking more blood, but that's a story for again. So back to the Old Testament. In the case of an accidental killing, if you think about this, there was the danger of an injustice in that the person who had accidentally, and accidents happen, accidentally taken the life of another person, that there was a place to which they could run and find safety and appeal for justice. Now remember, in those days there was no police force. The person who was involved in the accidental killing would run to the city of refuge. They would literally run for their life. And if the leaders in that city judged that it had all been a terrible accident, that they would be brought into the city and they would be allowed to live there. And there's an interesting little point in chapter 20 and verse 6, which I'll come back to, that they were safe to stay in that city until the death of the high priest, and then they were free to go, and no one must touch them, because they were now finally free. So we'll come back to some of that. But this study this morning about these places of refuge is of great profit to us, because all of these cities of refuge are pointing to Jesus. Let me just give you a wee bit of background here, and again then apply it to the gospel. Here's an interesting thing. If you read Deuteronomy 19 and verse 3, it says about the cities of refuge that they were to build roads to these places. They were to make the way to these cities clear. There were to be no obstacles. So the road to refuge was made clear. It's interesting that from Jewish literature, we can actually add a number of other things. That every year there was some time set apart when these roads to these cities were to be carefully looked after and repaired. Obstacles were to be removed. Every spring after the rains, if you like, of winter, bridges were to be built over ravines, so that a person who is fleeing the avenger of death would not have to run down into a ravine and probably eventually lose his life. So it's really, really interesting. And here's the other interesting thing, that at particular places along the road, there were signs to be erected which said refuge and pointed in the direction of the city. And here's another little interesting detail that we have, that these signs were to be large enough so that a man running for his life did not have to slow down and wonder what it's saying. He clearly saw that it was pointing to the way of refuge. So the road to refuge was made clear. The other thing we can say is that the door to refuge was unlocked. This is an interesting truth, that the doors to these cities were never locked and shut up tight, because if they had been, Dare help the person who's running, maybe through the night. As you know, in that culture, the doors of the cities were all locked so that all sorts of, if you like, bad people couldn't come and attack the city at night and all that sort of stuff. But the door to the city of refuge was unlocked so that no matter what time of day or night that a person ran and, as it were, rapped on the door of the city of refuge, it was always open. They could get in. One writer puts it this way: the gates of the cities of refuge were always to be kept unlocked. That was not normal for ancient towns. At night the gates were closed and locked up, but these cities of refuge were not like that. The doors were always open. That's interesting, isn't it? So the road made clear, the door unlocked, the place of refuge was for all. We see this clearly in chapter 20, verse 9. Any of the Israelites or any alien or stranger living among them who's killed somebody accidentally could flee to these cities. So I don't have to say much about that. I'll come back to it in a moment. The place of refuge was for everyone. Didn't matter who they were, whether they were a Jew or a Gentile or a foreigner or whoever, everybody could run to the city of refuge. And here's the last thing. The death of the high priest secured final deliverance. As I said, you see this in chapter 20 and verse 6. It says he is to stay in that city until he had stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then he may go back to his own town, own home, in the town from which he has fled. Now, folks, up until this point, this is still, in some ways, a slightly academic exercise. It's interesting. Some may find it interesting, some may not. I'm sorry if you don't. But here's where the preacher must proceed. Because up until this point, I have maybe given you a wee bit of a lecture, but I haven't preached Christ. That's what I must do. And that's what these cities of refuge ultimately point to. So let me go through that again. And there is, if you like, the sermon this morning. What did he preach on this morning? He preached in Joshua 20. What's Joshua 20 about? It's about the six cities of refuge. But here's the point. Jesus is our city of refuge. Jesus. If you don't see that, you've missed the whole thing. So let's just rehearse this for a moment. The primary role of the church is to make a straight way to Jesus. The primary role of the church of Jesus Christ. And if you like, in the same way that these people, every year, they were to clear the road of any obstacles, they were to build the bridges, if you like, and repair the bridges so that a person on the run, fleeing, remember this, fleeing the avenger of blood, the person coming who is going to cut them down, that there's nothing in the road that would stop them finding their way to the place of refuge. That's a very, very thought-provoking idea that we could dwell on this morning. Let me ask this question. What obstacles are there lying in the road of people that you could think of people getting to Jesus? Is there an obstacle in your life or in my life or in our lives that stop people getting to Jesus? That's a very thought-provoking question for the church. Is there anything in the church that stops people from running to Jesus? Let me press it even further. What obstacles are there here in our own country? What obstacles are there in Ulster to people running to Jesus? Very thought-provoking. Very stimulating question. We are to build roads so that people may get to Jesus easily. James Montgomery Boyce says this: we are to construct bridges over any chasm in their thinking or that our society might put in the way. We are to erect signs that point to Jesus. And here's a lovely thought. We are, if you like, to stand at the crossroads, like that sign saying refuge, pointing in the direction of the city, and we are to say, look to him. There he is. Run to Jesus. Run to him. There's the place you will find safety. There it is. It's not actually a building. It's not a religious institution. It's a person. Jesus. Jesus, our refuge, the one who died and rose again. The preacher could go on and on. The primary role of the church is to make a straight way to Jesus. And here's another thought. All who run to Jesus will find an open door. Isn't that lovely? And in the same way that the people who ran for their lives and they blattered on the door, please let me in. There was nobody who said, sorry, we're locked up tonight. And in the same way that all who run to Jesus Christ and flee to him because they know that the avenger of death is on their tail. And if they do not find a place of safety, the avenger of death will cut them down. And folks, remember, there is an avenger of death after you. Don't forget that. After you, every single one of you, every single one of you this morning and me is being pursued by the avenger of death. Where are you going to run? And that's why we run to Jesus. And that's why we blatter, as it were, to use those words, if I can use them reverently, on his door. And we say, Lord Jesus, let me in. Because there's somebody on my tail. And he's going to cut me down. But I'm safe in you. Isn't that lovely? And Jesus says, whosoever shall come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The door is open. The door is open. And you know, the people this morning who don't bother coming to church, no time for that sort of stuff. Well, I'll appear now and again, make an appearance. They do not realize that the avenger of death is on their tail. And all who run to Jesus will find an open door. Folks, here's another lovely thought. All who run. It matters not who you are. Black, white, orange, green, unionist, nationalist, loyalist, Republican, I don't care what label you put on someone. All who run to Jesus will be saved. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Do you struggle with that? I hope you don't. Because that is the gospel. And Joshua says, even the foreigner in your country, even the stranger in your country, even the person who you don't even know much about them, if they run, they will find a place of mercy. All who run. And here's the last thing. Through the death of Jesus, our high priest, final deliverance is secured. In Joshua 20, it was the death ultimately of the high priest that allowed the person to go completely free. They could then go free. No one could touch them. They were safe. And that is a wonderful picture of Jesus, our high priest. And through his death, through his atoning death, which we come this morning at this table to remember. And so in a moment or two, folks, as we sing the song, we come to the table, this is what I want you to think about. Because you are coming to this table not because you think you're good enough to come, not because you're particularly religious or whatever, but because you have run to Jesus. That is the only reason anybody can come to this table. And you can say, Lord, I've run to you, and you've opened the door. You've let me in. You've given me a place of safety and security. I'm safe in you. I'm safe under your blood. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Folks, are those not gloriously wonderful words? Does this chapter of Joshua not now open up in a brand new way? Jesus is our city of refuge. And again, all sorts of things that remain unsaid this morning. If that is the case, then there needs to be a fresh prayer in your heart and mine for those who don't see that, for those who don't realize that the avenger of death is on their heels. Pray that they would see that. Pray that they would see it and that they would run and flee to Jesus and find safety. Amen. May the Lord bless this word.